Bibles to Mark in chapter 5. Good to see all of you here this morning. Mark chapter 5. The name of Jesus. What a name.
Something wonderful.
There's no salvation outside of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You ought to get to know Him and make sure He knows you. Mark in chapter 5, I want to begin reading in verse 1. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he had said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he brought him much, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us out into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea, and they were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him, and that was him that was possessed with a devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee.' And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about these scriptures. Father in heaven, I pray that you would have mercy upon us this morning. I pray if there's anybody in the sound of my voice that isn't clear on salvation and has never been born again, that they might come to know you as their Savior. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in Christ that we might be encouraged to serve you and exalt you, and Lord, that we might continue the revival in our hearts. We thank you for all things in the name of, above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I would title this sermon, "A Man with an Unclean Spirit." And I have to confess this morning that I am not an expert in demonology. The subject matter scares me. I don't go to movies that have demons in it. I can watch an old cowboy movie or a cartoon, but I don't like movies with demons in it. It's too real for me. But I do see in the scriptures there are devils. And I believe that I've had encounters with devils, and you probably have too. And the reality is that too many of us, all of us probably, are too fixated on the physical, and we forget about the spiritual. Certainly Jesus brought that to heart when he said that, you know, we're all concerned about what we're going to be clothed with and what we're going to eat. And he said, don't take care for those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Amen. And I've read this passage this morning because I wanted you to see that there is a spiritual battle raging about us. Now, we may not be able to explain it. We may not know how to define it, but it is there. And anyone that reads the scriptures for any amount of time knows that there are two worlds in our world. There is a physical world that we can see, and there is a spiritual world. Now, those that would promote the idea that we've evolved from apes, they would only want you to consider the physical world, and they want you to ignore all the evidences of the spiritual world. That would be a great error on your part and mine. But I would like to say that there is a spiritual world, and I'm just going to give reference to some certain passage in the scriptures, and if you read the Bible, you know that these are true. Do you remember when the king of Syria began to attack Israel, and he goes into Israel, and he's looking for Israel, and he can't find the king of Israel, and he gets concerned. He says, what's going on? Who's leaking all this information? Who's the friend of the king of Israel? And one of his servants come to him. No, there wasn't a leak. It's Elijah, that prophet, or Elisha, the prophet, down in Israel. He's listening in on your bed conversations, and he's telling the king of Israel where you're going and what you're doing. And the king of Israel, where is he at? Well, he's down here in a certain city. I forget what city it is. I probably have it in my notes somewhere. He says, we're going to go down there. And so he gathers the army, and they surround the city, and they're going to try to get Elisha. And Elijah's servant sitting there with him, he's scratching his head, and he cries out, how shall we do? That's old English for, what are we going to do? We got all these armies around you. How shall we do? What are we going to do? And it seems that Elijah was not perturbed at all. He wasn't concerned about the army surrounding the city. And his servant apparently biting his nails a little bit, nervous seeing all the armies, because he's looking at the physical. And the physical can be scary. But Elijah says, Lord, open his eyes, would you? Don't fear, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.
Amen.
And he saw all of these, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about them. Now, I don't want to scare you, but there may be lots of spiritual creatures walking these aisles, or maybe sitting right next to you, or maybe sitting on your shoulder. You ever hear some of these drug addicts talking about how they have a monkey on their back? Yeah. Yeah, there is a spiritual world. This man had an unclean spirit. And I would hope to God that all of us would seek that clean spirit, that Holy Spirit of Christ that might fill us so that we might not have an unclean spirit. We can understand from the context, we're going to read a little bit more and look at a little bit more deeply shortly, that it's not a good spirit, good experience to have an unclean spirit. Can we agree with that?
Amen.
Let me point out that also that Daniel was praying for 21 days that God would hear his prayer. And I can imagine that like you and I, we pray to God and sometimes doubt rises up within our heart, or maybe we might even have a disappointment with the Lord, perhaps that's a good way to phrase it. Maybe even an accusation against the Lord. Maybe a confounding of the mind. We're not really understanding. Lord, you said if we had asked that you would answer, and we're going to God and we pray, and it just seems like he's not answering. Well, that happened with Daniel. Daniel was praying, and up shows a servant of the Lord, or an angel, or some being appears unto Daniel and tells him, you know, from the very first God heard you. From the very first, God heard you and sent me to bring the reply, but the king of Persia had hindered me so that I couldn't come. But then Michael, the prince of the kingdom, he came and helped me, and I've come after 21 days to bring the message. What is that about? That's about a spiritual warfare going about us that perhaps we can't see, but we need to be aware that it's going on. Because there is a spiritual battle. How many of you heard of the tales of Job? Job, just an average man, just going about his business, concerned about his children, praying for his children, understanding there is a God, and you ought to seek God, and you ought to love God, you ought to serve God, was concerned that maybe his children weren't going to walk in the ways of righteousness and gave sacrifice for his children. And unbeknownst to him, the devil himself, Satan, was up in heaven talking with God, and God asked him, "Where you been, Satan?" "I've been going to and fro the earth. Back and forth. Maybe went by your house today. Just going forth." And the Lord happens to say, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan apparently had considered him. And he said, "Well, does he fear God for naught? You've blessed him. Of course he's going to serve you." I know a lot of people serve God as long as everything's going well. Is that an accusation that could be true for you?
Yeah. Amen.
I'll serve God as long as everything's going well, but if anything goes wrong, I'm not serving God anymore. But that's not the message. That's a different message. The point is that Satan was aware, and that Satan was walking to and fro in the earth, and he was observing people. Has Satan ever observed you? And then you know the temptations, you know the trials that Job suffered. He couldn't explain it. His friends came and accused him falsely, accused him of sin and rebellion against the Lord and all sorts of things. And they weren't aware that there was a spiritual battle going on in the heavens. And boy, that can change your attitude. It certainly had an effect on Job and his friends because they were not aware of the spirits moving to and fro in the earth. Have you ever been tempted? Do you ever gotten down to pray sometimes and the most vile and wicked things that suddenly appear in your brain or your heart? Don't you think that's unusual?
Amen.
I can remember we had a brother come to our church in Torun, Poland. The medical doctors diagnosed him with schizophrenia, so they say. And they loaded him up with drugs, and he was bloated because he had been on the medication for 9 years. And his name was Eric. So I went up to Attic one day and I said, "Attic, what's going on here? You really ought to consider getting off of these drugs." He says, "Well," he says, I said, "how did you get on them in the first place? And what's going on?" Because in Poland, like in these United States, the medical doctors, they want to try to treat spiritual conditions with medicine. And sometimes it's a problem with the spirits. And not just the physical. I'm not saying there can't be problems with the physical. Obviously there can. But to ignore the spiritual is an error as well. And I've been in hospitals in Poland for children. Their parents had gone through divorce, and they take them, and the medical doctors start pumping them with pills, and they literally walk around like zombies. Yeah, I think that's a mistake because they're unaware of the spiritual things going about them. But I asked Arik, I said, what was going on? "Well, the doctors have diagnosed that I'm schizophrenia, etc." And I said, "Well, what happened?" "Well, I was praying one day, and as I prayed, I heard a voice said, 'Don't pray.'" I said, "I don't know that's schizophrenia because I hear that same voice when I get down to pray." Have you ever gone to pray and heard a voice that said, "Don't pray, put it off. You can do this tomorrow, maybe later. Aren't you hungry? Don't you have something to do? The phone rings. Aren't you busy?" Yeah. I can also remember another young lady. Well, I'll give you two experiences of my life. One of them, both of them actually scared the living daylights out of me. And I got to tell you, the hair is standing up well, not on my head, but this, the hair is standing up on the back of my neck, just recalling these experiences. Once as a young man, maybe 9, 10 years old, my family was not religious, but somehow we did believe that there was a devil out there somehow. And my brother and I decided we'd go into a closet, a dark closet, and close the door and try to conjure up the devil. Stupid children. So we're in that closet, complete darkness, and we're saying, "All right, devil, where are you at?" Well, something showed up. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was the devil. It looked like the head of a fly. I tell you what, we ran out of that closet and we ran down the street screaming like little girls. We were screaming at the top of our lungs. I can't explain that experience. I know it happened. I don't recommend conjuring up the devil. I don't recommend playing with Ouija boards. I don't recommend, you know, facing off with the devil. If you're going to have a fight with the devil, you better start pleading the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My other experience, well, I've had several that I know of. We had a young lady in our church in Torun. I had met her as we were evangelizing in the dormitories for the University of Copernicus in Torun, which is a big university there. And we were out visiting in the dorms and going door to door and trying to evangelize. It was a great opportunity to give the gospel. The young people were really open to the gospel, or at least open to hearing the message that we had to present to them, the gospel message. And we knocked on the door and we came to this young lady's room and began speaking to her, talking to her about the Lord Jesus Christ. She seemed to be very friendly, and unbeknownst to us that she was not friendly at all. But she gave the appearance that she was friendly. Long story short, she went down to the security guards, said that this false sect is up there and whatever, and we were kicked out of the dormitories. We could never get back in after that. Well, because that we had talked to them and we'd always leave our phone numbers or a card or a track that said, if you ever have questions and you'd like to speak to us, you can call us. Also, if you're willing, I will teach you English. If you're willing to talk about the Bible, we'll have English conversations. Of course, university students in Poland always want an opportunity to speak in English, to practice their English, especially with a native speaker. So that was an opportunity we had and we used at times in order to evangelize. Well, one day, I hear a knock at the door. I open the door. Here's this young lady that I'd spoken to a few months earlier. I did not know that she was the cause of us getting kicked out of the dormitories. Well, she came in. We began talking with her. Long story short, we began dealing with the gospel. And finally, one day she confessed that it was her that had gotten us kicked out. Well, she was a very devout Roman Catholic, and she was in the Catholic temple there, or Catholic church there in Torun, praying before some great image. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I've been in a lot of Catholic churches. They're spooky. Yeah. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about that spookiness. It says, "I say that things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord table, of the Lord's table, and a table of devils. Do we provoke God to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" Let me tell you something. God does not like idolatry. Right. And God is a spirit, and He must be worshipped in spirit and truth. And when you bow down before an image, you're provoking God to jealousy. But not only that, if I understand the Bible correctly, the devil is interested in getting worship. And he would rather have you worship an image than to worship the holy God that is the great I Am. And so she was into this Catholic church, and she was praying before this big image of Mary. And by the way, in Poland, they have Mary on the cross with Jesus in his arms. Something wrong with that. It's Christ that suffered on the cross for us. He is the only way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But she was in the temple, in one of these Catholic churches praying before these images, and something she says, this is her testimony, something came out over her, and she began screaming. Did you read the text? This man was running in the tombs, crying out. And she began screaming. They called the police, and the police had to come, and she just screaming. And they hauled her off to the hospital, and they diagnosed her with schizophrenia, began pumping her with pills. Well, Janice and I began working with her. Praise God, she got saved. But there was a day she was sitting in my office, and I was talking to her, and she began speaking to me in a man's voice. The hairs, well, not on my head, but the hairs stood up on the back of my neck. I did not know how to respond. I just said, stop that. I'm not going to tolerate this. And fortunately, she returned to whatever voice, her normal voice. Scary. I feel like, kind of like the disciples when they brought that man brought his child to the disciples, and he complains to the Lord. He says, I brought him to his disciples and they could not cast him out. I am not going to say that I'm an exorcist. It's not a vocation I'd like to partake of. I would rather just preach the gospel and let Jesus Christ handle all that. And if I can find a Paul somewhere, I'll let Paul handle that. Or maybe a Stephen or somebody else. I don't want to get involved in that. Too scary for me. Thank God. God saved me and I have the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is there is demonic activity going on. And this man was filled with an unclean spirit. And I believe there are more people filled with unclean spirits than that we really realize. And the problem with many people may not be the drugs or the alcohol or whatever else afflictions they may have, it may be a spiritual problem and probably is a spiritual problem. Amen. The Bible tells us to resist the spirits. Resist the spirit. Resist the devil and he shall flee from you. Do you remember Paul? He was preaching over there in Acts in chapter 19, and you can read the story there, and some vagabond Jews that said that they were exorcists, they thought they were going to start, you know, casting out some demons. They thought, well, if Paul can do it, and they got a hold of this man, he had some demons in him, he had some unclean spirits in him, and they said, we adjure thee by Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out! And that demon says to them, he says, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? Amen. And he jumped on him and I don't want to get involved in that, but I want to say that there is demonic activity going on. Amen. And the only one that can deliver us is Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's why we preach him, Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
Just as a doctrinal matter, what is an unclean spirit? If you'll read the verses here later on in the Bible, he talks about all, verse 12 in Mark chapter 5, he says the man had an unclean spirit, and then it says all the devils besought him saying, send us on to the swine. Verse 13, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And then in verse 16, and they sought and told them how it befell him that he was possessed with the devil. So it seems like unclean spirit, devil, spirits, we're talking about the same thing. And you find that quite often in the scriptures. You can look up Luke chapter 9, Luke chapter 4, in Revelation chapter 18, it says in verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And it seems like that the Bible depicts these devils as birds. Do you remember what Jesus said? With the sower of the seed, he went out to sow the seed, and some fell by the wayside, and what came and took the seed? The fowls of the air came and took the seed away. And then when Jesus began to interpret that parable to the disciples, he interpreted, they says, what do these things mean? And the Lord says that Satan himself comes and takes away the seed. He said the fowls of the air, then he said Satan. And then in the other gospel he says, the wicked one came and took away the seeds. And in the other gospel, he says the devil came and took away the seed. So a lot of different words that are used to describe the same thing. Now, we all know about the devil, but apparently there are devils as well, or demons, or unclean spirits that are floating about. Have you ever heard of Beelzebub?
Yeah.
He's called the Lord of the Flies. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me a bit if demons weren't you don't call them a herd, what do you call it? A swarm of flies that are buzzing around our heads. That's very possible. And like I said, I'm not an expert. Don't claim to be expert, but he does buzz around. He does go to and fro. Yeah? And he is in the business of tempting people. He went and tempted our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you know, if you remember the temptation, what the temptation was all about, it was all about satisfying the flesh. Don't you want to satisfy the flesh? Aren't you hungry? You've been fasting for 40 days. Why don't you make these stones bread? Why don't you satisfy your flesh? Have you ever been tempted that way? What else? Hey, why don't you jump off this pinnacle? God will take care of you. Isn't God a benevolent God? Isn't he good? Did he promise that he would take care of you? Go ahead and do it. Seems like the devil would tempt us to tempt God.
Yeah.
And the last one was, bow down and worship me. Pride and worshiping of somebody other than God. The Lord rebuked him all three times and the devil went away. This man was possessed with an unclean spirit. As I said, I'm not an expert. I'm not going to try to explain it all because I don't understand it all. But it seems like when the light of life, Jesus Christ, showed up on the earth, it sort of exposed all the cockroaches. You know, it's kind of you flip on your light and then all of a sudden the cockroaches start moving around. There was tremendous amount of demonic activity when our Lord walked the earth. There might be a tremendous amount of demonic activity going on in our lives today.
Amen.
And I would just like to point out some things that I noticed that are self-evident in the context of talking about this man with an unclean spirit. And just as the Bible talks about the fruits of the spirit, there are fruits of the flesh, or there's fruits of these unclean spirits. You can see some things, although you cannot see the spirit, you can see that something is going on. One of the first things I noticed, that he had a fixation with death. In verse 5, he was always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. In verse 3, he said he had his dwelling among the tombs. Have you ever been challenged as a young man to spend the night in the cemetery? I decline that challenge. I know people are dying to get in. That's why they put fences around the cemetery. They're just dying to get in. But anyway. I don't want to be around death. I don't like getting invitations to a funeral. I don't even like visiting the hospital when people are at the door of death and it seems the death angel is walking around knocking on doors. I like to avoid that. That's why I like the Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the life.
Amen.
And he's the resurrection.
Amen.
When Jesus died and rose again, the disciples went, some ladies went there, and the angel appears on them. What are you looking for the living among the dead for?
Amen.
And a lot of people in this world that we live in our generation, this very day, are looking for life, but they're spending their time in a tomb. You're not going to find the living God among the tombs. He resurrected. The tomb couldn't hold him. I notice also that he was crying, apparently with anguish. And just like those prophets of Baal back in Elijah's day, do you know what they did when their God wouldn't hear them? They began cutting themselves. You ever heard of cutters? Pull up their arms and they got knife cuts all across their arms. What are they trying to do? They're in anguish. Their souls are anguished, and they feel like if I could just cut my flesh, I can divert my attention from the anguish of my soul and be more worried about the pain of my body. What possesses people? Could it be an unclean spirit? Could it be devils? In the book of Proverbs it says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Do you know the amount of murders that are going around? The people, the craziness that people are doing? Can you explain it? Is it possible there might be some demonic flies buzzing around in their brain and compelling them to do these murders? And did you notice that the way that the world tries to control this demonic man, let's put some chains on him. Yeah? Let's bind him. And he just shakes them off as if it was nothing. They want to bind you. They want to put you, and people are trying to seek the Lord. There are religious people that show up at your door and they want to bind you with the chains of the law. And they want to tell you, you got to get circumcised. You got to get baptized. You got to stop eating meat. You got to meet on Saturday. You got to do this. You got to do that. And you got to beat yourself. And all sorts of ideas, putting chains on you when Jesus is the proclaimer of liberty.
Amen.
He sets the captives free. Did you also notice that he wore no clothes? It seems like demonic activity has to be around people that always want to get naked. Hello. You ever been to Padre Island? Isn't it amazing? You would never come to, well, I hope not. I hope you would never come to church dressed that way. Did you ever notice that when they want to sell an automobile, they got somebody naked there?
Yeah.
They want to sell a product, another naked person. Did you know one of the biggest businesses in these United States is pornography?
Yeah.
Billions of dollars.
Right.
Billions of dollars. Could that not be unclean spirits?
Yeah.
And when he went forth to the land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. You remember when Moses came down from the mount? You know what they were doing? They were dancing around that idol naked. You remember Adam and Eve, when they fell into sin, they saw themselves naked. What's the first thing God did? Put clothes on them. Now, we're not stringent about, you know, we don't have a very strict dress code around here, but we do ask you to be clothed.
Amen.
Put some clothes on. Satisfying the flesh seems like one of the temptations of the devil. Listen to what the Bible says. In meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. Have you been taken captive by the devil? Have you walked around not paying attention, walked around and stepped into one of his snares? Beware.
Amen.
The devil as a roaring lion goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour. And you and your blissful naivete, how do you say that word? And you're being naive, walking around with your head in the clouds, not even realize you got the devil standing right next to you, whispering in your ear, go this way.
Yeah,
you ought to get around the Word of God and get filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And get around some spiritual people to fight off the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you is what it says. The Bible commands neither give place to the devil. You ought not to give him place. Give him no room.
Amen.
Don't open the door. Don't give him the key.
Amen.
Fill your head and heart with the Word of God.
Amen.
Get Christ as the center of your life. Let me say, tell you something. The devil is no match for Christ.
Amen.
And you're no match for the devil.
Right.
So you better hide yourself in Christ.
Amen.
This demon-possessed man, this man with an unclean spirit, he had enough sense that when he saw Jesus get out of the boat, he ran to him. And you ought to have enough sense to run to Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know what you're running to the gods of this world. It does make no sense.
Amen.
Why would you want to run to a temple full of idols when God said he is a spirit and you have to worship him in spirit and truth?
Amen.
Why would you want to do that when God says that without faith it's impossible to please him, and faith comes by hearing the word of God? Paul said in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he said, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You have an enemy.
Yes.
Whether you know it or not, you have an enemy.
Yes.
He does not want you to know Jesus Christ.
Right. Right.
He does not want you to run to Jesus Christ. He will allow you to show up in a synagogue. Men with demons have showed up in synagogues. He will allow you to go to church. He'll allow you to get baptized. He'll allow you to take sacraments. He'll allow you to get circumcised. He'll allow you to abstain from meats. He'll allow you to do a lot of things as long as you don't come to Christ. And Jesus says to us, come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. You have the monkey on your back, come to Jesus.
Amen.
You fall into temptation, come to Jesus.
Amen.
You possessed with an unclean spirit, come to Jesus. He is the answer. Let me close in this chapter and just notice the results of this contact with Jesus. Look down in verse 15. This is the crowd. This is a testimony from people that don't like Jesus. Listen to their testimony. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed, past tense, was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. I know some of us have a real problem when we witness, but you want to know something? That world is afraid of us. They really are. Have you ever noticed you open up a Bible and all of a sudden, no. Shut them up. You can be talking about anything else in the world and they're just happy to talk and gossip and just anything, but you open that Bible and start talking about Jesus. Oh, no.
Amen.
Yeah? That ought to give us a little bit of confidence. And when I saw that years ago in the Bible, I got confident when I talked to people about the Lord. I knew that they were afraid of me. Why? Because Jesus is with me.
Amen.
Is Jesus with you?
Amen.
Is the Spirit of Christ in you? Do you know God? Or rather, does God know you? Have you been born again?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Did you notice that there was a change in this man's life?
Yes.
He wasn't cutting himself anymore.
Yeah.
He wasn't crying out in anguish anymore. He was sitting still, clothed. There's your rule, clothed.
Yes.
Clothed, put some clothes on.
Amen.
Doesn't have to be a suit and tie. But clothed. You know what clothed is.
Amen.
You don't go to Padre Island and say, look at all these clothed people. You know it and I know it. Clothed.
Amen.
and in his right mind. Did you know without Jesus Christ, you're out of your mind?
Yes.
Did you know that? It makes no sense. You'll come up with things and say an ape was your grandfather. You're out of your mind. You'll start walking around and say, there is no God. You're out of your mind. But you get in contact with Jesus Christ, you'll get right in your mind. And that's why we say come to Him.
Amen.
That's why we preach Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The other thing I want to close with, look down in verse 19. This is another characteristics of somebody that's been touched by the Lord. He says, can I be with you? Verse 18.
Yeah.
Can I be with you? Can I go with you? I want to go where you go. Yeah? That ought to be your desire. You say you're saved and you have no desire to be where Christ is at? He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst.
Yeah.
But Jesus said he suffered him not and saith unto him, go home. Go home to thy friends and do what? Tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and hath had compassion on thee.
Amen.
Can you imagine what that was like? Knock, knock. Mom and Dad, I'm home. It's him. Lock the door. Oh, lock the door. It's him. Because the last time he saw him, he was full of the devil.
Full of the devil.
And he's come knocking on the door and he said, peace be unto thee.
Amen.
He says, I've got news. God is a compassionate God.
Amen.
Yeah? Can you imagine him going up to his friends? The last time his friends saw him in high school, he was full of the devil. Here he comes, clothed and in his right mind. What happened to you?
Thank you, Lord.
I had a talk with Jesus. Can I tell you about him? Can you see him showing up at work? Hey, we haven't seen you in a long time. Where you been? What happened to you? Let me tell you about Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. That's what Jesus told him to do. And I believe that's what Jesus is telling us to do.
Right.
Let's go and tell the people what great things God had done unto us.
Amen.
Do you have an unclean spirit? Come to Christ.
Amen.
Call upon his name.
Amen.
That name which is above every name.
Amen.
The name of the Lord Jesus
Amen.
Christ. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We're thankful that you are the great God and you are the only Savior and the only way of salvation. We thank you for your Son. God, if there's a person in the sound of my voice that is not saved, may they come to know you as their Savior. If there's anyone here with an unclean spirit, may they come to know the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. Oh God, have mercy upon all of us. Bless us. Bless these brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Amen.
Come back tonight.